It is now 18 minutes past 7. You are listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. Time now for episode 1 of our Hajj documentary. It is titled Empire of Love, Introduction to the Ottoman Khilafah.
At the crossroads of Asia and Europe lies a city that once held tremendous significance for the Muslim world. From Istanbul, now in modern-day Turkey, blossomed a dynasty that took Islamic civilization to the pinnacles of its glory. For 600 years, from the Middle Ages to the 20th century, this dynasty of Muslim leaders ruled over large swathes of the world. Its dominion, on the one hand, incorporated the great Muslim centers of Baghdad, Cairo, and Damascus. On the other, it made an unprecedented showing at the doors of Europe. Most significantly, it held the centers of power in the Muslim world, Mecca, Medina, and Al-Quds, and in it was vested the global Muslim political leadership. And right until its dying throes, the Ottomans served the Ummah and its holiest places with a dedication and spiritual love almost unparalleled in the annals of history. Despite their demise coming barely a century ago, and even with Ottoman landmarks still present, an accurate understanding of their contributions to Islam is still largely lacking. The time is now ripe for a rediscovery of their heritage. Across the continents, down the ages, this is the story of the services of the Uthmaniyya Khilafah, the Empire of Love.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
800 years ago, in the heartland of rural Anatolia, 150 miles from Istanbul, was born Uthman, a Ghazi or defender of Islam against the Byzantines, just like his Muslim contemporaries in the region. He was the head of a beylik, a small self-governing protectorate, one of hundreds that had sprung up in the area in opposition to the Byzantines. Legend has it that Uthman once had a dream in which a glorious tree grew out of his navel, expanding over a breathtaking landscape. Its roots and branches grew to cover Asia, Europe, and Africa. Uthman Sheikh, who he regularly relied upon for Islamic guidance, interpreted the dream as a sign that Uthman's descendants would be at the center of an empire that controlled these three continents. From their origins as a small Turkish beylik centered around a Ghazi warrior society, they expanded to become one of the most powerful empires in early modern history. The dynasty was named after Uthman and called Uthmanli, rendered in English as Ottoman. All future sultans of the empire were endowed with the sword of Uthman when they took power, and drawing from the foundations of their dynasty, they all took to heart the ethos of defending Islam as their core identity.
And he actually says that they forget that this Turkish dawla, you know, that was rooted in the Turks, but it was never a nationalistic civilization. This, he said, they spent two-thirds of their history fighting the enemies of Islam, protecting the borders of Islam. This was their civilization. It was protecting and expanding the Muslim protection.
During the coming decades, Orhan, then Murad I, and then Bayezid I continued to expand the Ottoman state. On the one hand, they would conquer territory from the Byzantines, eventually expanding into Byzantine territory in Europe, in the west. And on the other, they would absorb the other Turkish states through alliances, marriage, and in some cases, war. By the end of the 1300s, the empire had grown to include most of the former Byzantine Empire, with the exception of the city of Constantinople. sovereignty over Constantinople had long proved to be an elusive affair for aspirant world leaders. It was the capital of the Eastern Christian Empire and considered the capital of the so-called civilized world. With its strategic location bounded by no less than three waterways and coupled with its encirclement by three lofty walls, Constantinople was virtually impregnable. For 1,000 years, successive waves of attempts at capturing the city by some of the most sophisticated armies of that time were all met with failure. Muslim armies from the time of the Sahaba also did not manage to make any decisive inroads. Muslims, however, held firm to the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the city would certainly enter Muslim hands, and recurrently used his hadith to revitalize their quest for the city.
Comes in the narration, as Sahaba radiallahu anhu was sitting, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You know about one city which is on water?" The Sahabi said, "We said, oh Allah's Nabi, we know about it." Now listen to this word, because if ever you get a chance to go to Istanbul, this word will teach you what was the power of Sunnah. One word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing he said, لَتَفْتَحُنَّ الْقُسْطَنْتِنِيَةِ, that I guarantee you one day you will conquer Constantinople. That if you know the Arabic language, you will understand that lam that comes, that noon that comes. That don't look at me in doubt, guarantee you're going to get it one day. And then he said this phrase, which is going to teach you the power of Sunnah, and how much this Ummah honored the words of Sunnah. He said, وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا, that what a wonderful Amir that Amir will be. وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشُ, and what a wonderful army that army will be. When that word came out, the ulama write that every leader after stabilizing his hukuma, his first dream was, if I can get the land of Constantinople, then I will be the one who Rasulullah spoke about and said Mubarak. And how it would be that the first to get the army ready and to get the Amir ready, they would call the Muhaddis of the era. And he would come in front. And in front of all the generals, the Khalifa would say to him, narrate to us the hadith of Constantinople. And then he would say, Allah's Nabi said that you're going to get the land. One statement. Before that, someone could have given so much bayan that this country society, that country society, that country society, no one got it. That one word of the Muhaddis, that Allah's Nabi said you're going to get it. And then the second he would say, and Allah's Nabi said, what an Amir, what an army. And then the Khalifa will say, who's ready to go? And everyone would stand.
Eventually, as it was decreed, this honor was realized by Sultan Muhammad, or Mehmed II, of the Uthmaniyya dynasty. His unprecedented military victory was rooted in spirituality, as well as a military genius that saw him deploy the latest weaponry, as well as use shock tactics such as the transportation of scores of ships over land. Prior to his victory, Mehmed, out of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had a fortress built close to Constantinople in a way that its shape spelt out Muhammad in Arabic when seen from above. With the conquest of Constantinople, the Ottomans had asserted their presence more strongly than ever before and won the admiration of the Muslim world. Sultan Mehmed's successes consolidated the gains of the dynasty and dealt decisive blows to the Safavid Shias in Iran, thereby safeguarding the Aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah. They also took control of key Arab lands from the Mamluk Empire. With the control of Baghdad, they also took hold of Greater Syria and became the guardians of Masjid al-Aqsa. And with the control of Cairo, Makkah and Medina now fell under their leadership. At this juncture, in the year 1517, and under the authority of Sultan Selim the Stern, the Ottomans crossed the line from sultans to khalifs. The Uthmaniyya Khilafa was born, an empire that would last right until 1924. This was a remarkable transformation from a tribe of nomadic horsemen in rural Turkey to becoming the rulers of a vast empire spanning three continents. It was Sultan Selim who said, "I want to conquer all of the world for Allah's approval." When he heard an imam praising him in a khutbah as Hakim al-Haramain al-Sharifain, or the ruler of the two harams, he objected with crying eyes. "On the contrary," Selim said, "I am the servant of the two harams, Khadim al-Haramain al-Sharifain."
The Ottomans called themselves the guardians of the holy places. Now that's just words, but they followed up on their words by putting a distinctive architectural stamp on Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem.
In the two cities, the Ottomans placed much emphasis on the protection and preservation of Islam's most important places. The oldest parts of the current Haram in Mecca, still in existence, the inner arcade of pillars, also known as the Turkish Haram pillars, were built by the Ottomans in the 1500s. In Medina, the Ottoman Sultan Suleiman greatly decorated the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, while also protecting the grave from damage with a brass and gold covering that still stands today. In Jerusalem, Sultan Suleiman ordered the rebuilding of the city's walls, which also still stand. Besides just architectural achievements, the Ottomans were the ensurers of the Hajj to Mecca. They organized official processions of pilgrims from Yemen, Central Africa, and Iraq. The main pilgrimage routes, however, were through Damascus and Cairo. Every year, the Sultan would appoint a special delegate who would lead the Hajj from Damascus. He would take with him vast amounts of gold and silver as a gift to the people of Mecca and Medina to help support them economically. During the reign of Sultan Abdul Hamid II in the late 1800s, a railway was built from Istanbul to Medina to help transport the hundreds of thousands of pilgrims going to the holy cities. For centuries, the Ottomans were the committed protectors of the Islamic faith. They presided over the holy sites of Islam and made it their mission to protect Muslims from outsiders. Islamic law was the fundamental basis of the empire's law system itself, and the spirit that carried it was love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When one examines the lives of the sultans, despite having many personal shortcomings and deficiencies, we see that they were most respectful to Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular. They loved Islam and its Prophet with deep sentiments which were not artificial, but came from within. In fact, the true name of the dynasty was not that of the Ottomans, but Mamluk al-Islamiyya, or the Nation of Islam. The emperor's name was Padshah al-Islam, or the Sultan of Islam. The army was called Asakir al-Islam, or the Soldiers of Islam. And the ulama were referred to as Sayhul Islam, or the Scholars of Islam.
Islamic State, its power is not from an army. Its power is not from a leader. Its power is not from oil or gas. Its power is not from the land it has, the amount of land it has. Its power is not from its population, although all of those things are powerful. But the thing which gave the power, the thing which gave the power to the Islamic State, was Islam. Islam is the power. When we stopped understanding Islam in the correct manner, when that happened, we started to weaken.
The Ottomans remained guardians of Islam's holiest places for one of the longest periods of Islamic history. In our next encounter, we uncover two sites in modern-day Istanbul that unmistakably connect this faraway land with the spiritual breezes of the Hijaz.